I'm Diosa.
And I'm Mala.
We're the creators of Locatora Radio, a radiophonic novela, which is a fancy way of saying
a podcast. Welcome to Locatora Radio Season 9.
Love at first listen.
This season, we're falling in love with podcasting all over again.
With new segments, correspondence, and a new sound.
Listen to Locatora Radio as part of the Michael Dura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Buenas, buenas, mis amores. This is Vico Ortiz, host of Date My Abuelita First. Each week, myself, alongside our resident abuelita, Liliana Montenegro.
Esa soy yo!
Play matchmaker for a group of hopeful romantics in this fun, flirty, and hilarious game show. Let's see if chispas will fly or if these singles will be sent back to the dating apps. Listen to Date My Abuelita First on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Brought to you by Toyota. Let's go places.
Welcome to Stuff You Should Know from HowStuffWorks.com.
Hey, and welcome to the podcast. I'm Josh Clark. There's Charles W. Chuck Bryant. You put the two of us together at our new editor, Casey.
Yeah.
And you have Stuff You Should Know.
Yeah. Guest editor is not Matt this time.
No. It's Casey.
It's Casey.
Yeah.
Welcome, Casey. And we are in what looks like the room of a serial killer.
Yeah. Buffalo Bills.
Yeah, this is the fourth room now we've been shuffled to in this office. And this is brand new to us. And it definitely very much looks like there might be a head floating in a jar behind you somewhere.
Yeah. All of the windows are blacked out with foam.
It's creepy.
There's one single bulb light in the middle of the table.
There's stuff stacked around all over the place, like some hoarder serial killer is living here.
It's not a good place. Like, I don't feel good right now.
Yeah, like temporarily living here. Like, a serial killer wouldn't even live in here. This is just where they go to, like, take evidence.
This is where they keep the victim.
Yeah.
And that's where we're recording from today.
Yeah, we wanted to set the mental stage.
Oh, man.
All right. We
so
can
you
do
know,
this.
I mean, the mental environment, it has a pronounced effect on the mind.
Yeah.
Like the physical environment.
Like where we are?
Yes.
Yeah, but no one cares. Remember, they're always just like, oh, just put Josh and Chuck in the hallway. They're fine.
Yeah. And apparently someone's listening to their voicemail just outside. Which you can hear. This is great. So the Pope.
Yes.
So you know Joseph Ratzinger.
John Ratzenberger?
No.
From Joseph, Cheers?
No.
Oh.
Cliff Clavin?
Yeah.
No, this guy's totally different.
I thought that was who the Pope was.
You know the Pope, you would be more familiar with Pope Benedict II.
Yeah.
But his birth name was Joseph Ratzinger. And following what is a very, very long tradition, as we'll see, he changed his name when he became Pope. Well,
yeah.
I don't know if you know this or not, even though you selected this article. But on February 11th, he announced he's going to retire.
Yeah, on the, I think 28th, this is like, I guess I gave 2 weeks, because roughly 2 weeks later is going to be his last day. And I felt, I'm not Catholic, and I don't know much about the Catholic religion, because I grew up in the South, and especially, you know, there were not a ton of Catholics in the South compared to other parts of the country.
Yeah, this is a very Northeastern, Midwestern.
Yeah, I felt bad for the guy, though, because people, like, called him Pope Scary and stuff because he sort of looked kind of creepy.
Yeah.
And I just remember thinking, that's not nice.
He did. He was also drafted into the German military during World War II.
Yeah.
Which is, kind of something.
And he abandoned, didn't he?
He deserted, yes.
Yeah, deserted.
Ostensibly before he fired a shot at anybody. I think it was during basic training that he was like, I'm out of here.
I might want to be Pope one day.
Right, exactly.
And
this is not going to look good on my resume.
I can't have that down there.
But yeah, plus also he followed in the footsteps of Pope John Paul II.
Yeah.
Arguably the most lovable Pope of all time.
Yeah, I mean, he was 78 to 2005. That's a nice chunk of time in the modern era.
He was a huge traveler.
Yeah.
He was credited with helping to bring about the end of the Cold War.
Yeah, to some degree. Sure.
He was beloved by all, even people who weren't Catholic loved Pope John Paul II.
Yeah, he's probably the most impersonated Pope. You know, the one guy. Or maybe it wasn't just one guy that looked.
Was it Naked Gun?
Well, yeah, and others. But
that's the one I always associate.
Looked just like him. John Paul II.
Yeah.
JP.
And then he would do that smile and like the weird wave with the hand.
Very lovable Pope.
He learned from Queen Elizabeth.
Yeah.
Okay, so yeah. Benedict said, hey, I'm very tired. I'm going to retire. And the whole world said, well, I don't know if you can do that. Can a pope retire?
He
said, oh, yes, you can. As a matter of fact, the last pope to retire was Gregory the 12th.
Yeah, just go back like 600 years for president.
Yeah, 598 to be exact,
yeah.
Where he basically retired to end what was called the Great Schism at the time.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, apparently there was a 70-year period where the papacy, which is the governance by the pope, left Rome and moved to Avignon, France.
Okay.
And I guess Gregory the 11th said, you know what? We're going to take it back to Rome. And that created the Great Schism, which, depending on who you ask, made Pope Benedict either the 265th or the 266th pope. Because during this Great Schism, there was a pope in Rome,
yeah,
and there was a pope in Avignon, France. So then Pope Gregory the 12th comes to power and says, you know what? I'm just going to retire.
Right.
It's going to end the Great Schism. He's the last pope, and I believe the first pope ever to retire. So Benedict.
Oh, so there's only been two?
Benedict the second is the second, as far as I know.
Did you see Saturday Night Live this week?
No, I don't watch SNL these days.
It's, they had Christoph Waltz was on. Did you see the little pope retiring commercial?
No.
It was pretty funny. They did like the typical, like, you know, financial retirement commercial spoof of the pope retiring and getting all his financial ducks in a row.
Nice.
It was pretty funny.
I think my favorite SNL commercial is the one with Sam Waterston from Law & Order, Jack McCoy.
Which one was that?
Where he talks about he's selling insurance to the elderly to protect against robots who want to come into their home and eat their medication.
I don't think I ever saw that.
Because that's what they're fueled by. And
right.
The robots are going to come to your home unless you have this insurance.
They're fueled on like pacemaker meds.
It's really a great commercial.
Oh, that's great. You put him in anything and
you know,
it's going to feel like that kind of commercial.
And he managed to do it with a straight face too.
Of course he did.
That guy's a class act.
Yeah.
So Benedict II announces he retires, and you choose how the papacy works. And I think we should point out, we're talking about the papacy, which is this position in the world,
yeah,
this world leader figurehead, the head of the Catholic Church, mm-hmm, Papa, Vicar of Christ,
yeah,
the Holy Father, the Bishop of Rome. They're all synonymous with
the big kahuna,
the Pope.
Yeah.
And what the Pope does is the papacy.
Yes.
So that's what we're talking about, is the papacy. It's like what the Pope's expected to do, how you get a new Pope. Well, there's a lot of papal questions.
Yeah, and this one is especially relevant, you know, because a lot of this is going to deal with the really interesting, I found, process for selecting and electing. And, of course, because it's religion A and Catholic religion B.
Right.
It's not just we get around and we talk about it and we like raise our hands. It's, you know, it's like very, I don't know, it's kind of a cool process, I think.
It is. It's arcane.
And it's happening right now.
No, actually, it's not.
Huh?
It can't happen yet.
No. It's the process has begun. They're trying to, March 15th is the vote, but they're trying to get it pushed forward even.
Oh, they are? Because I thought it can't happen sooner than 15 days after the Pope retires.
After the Pope dies.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
So they're going to push it forward because he's retiring.
Because there's no reason not to, basically.
Oh, yeah, because they don't have to celebrate the funeral rites or anything.
Or have a body on their hands.
You are brilliant, Brian.
It's not me. It's people.
Yeah, but you noticed that detail. That's
yeah, people
one.
Saying, you know, if we can go ahead and push this forward a little bit. But at the very, we know it's going to happen on the 15th or earlier.
Cool.
And they're already talking about maybe the first African pope.
I know. I'm excited
Latin American
about that one.
Pope.
A guy from Ghana or a guy from Brazil.
Yeah.
I'm pretty psyched about that.
And they're throwing their mitre in the ring, I guess.
Apparently, it's going to be a very conservative pope still, because Pope Benedict canonized or elected to cardinal 56% of the electorate.
Well, and John Paul was the other
44%. So you're going to get a pope who shares the same views as Benedict, most likely.
Probably, but that hasn't stopped people from writing endless op-eds already saying, hey, the majority of Catholics believe X, Y, and Z now.
Right.
Can we get a pope that represents the modern Catholic? And they're saying, yeah, it's probably not going to happen.
Yeah.
Wishful thinking, but it's probably not going to happen.
But maybe they'll be from Latin America or Africa.
Sure, which would be, you know.
That's a pretty big jump forward.
First non-European in like 1,000 years, I think.
Yeah. Well, we don't know yet.
Well, possibly, yeah.
Yeah.
Let's see.
I'm excited. Let's talk about this, Chuck. Okay. How long have we had popes?
Well, we have had, depending on who you ask, St. Peter, possibly, is the first pope, even though he never, like, they didn't have the office of pope at the time.
Right.
But he's widely considered to be the first pope because Jesus himself sort of handed over the reins and said, you know what, when I ascend to heaven,
right,
I'd like you to kind of run the show for me,
right,
Pete, if you don't mind.
And biblical scholars love interpreting stuff that Jesus said.
Yeah.
And he said something in Matthew 16:18 that they take to say Peter was the first pope. Peter was the person that Jesus said, it's up to you to run the church.
Yeah. That verse is, and I say also unto thee, that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And that is the Petrine guarantee.
Yeah.
And theologians believe that Peter is the rock because Jesus spoke Aramaic,
mm-hmm.
and Peter's original name was Simon, and Christ named him Peter, named him Cephas, which is Aramaic for rock. So they're saying...
Not to be confused with Bo-Cephas.
Yeah.
Or
the rock.
Hank Williams.
Yeah.
Hank Williams Jr.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's very good. So people saying, theologians mainly say, you know what? That's the rock that he's talking about. The rock is Peter. And further evidence is when he also says to Peter, feed my sheep. But I worry.
Which you have to imagine and is said in a certain tone.
I know, but I worry.
Not just like, hey, feed my sheep.
That's what I worry about.
Yeah.
So he's like, buddy, I'm going to heaven. Would you mind feeding my sheep while I'm gone?
Which is funny because
there's sheep that actually died because Peter was like,
I know what he means.
I'm not a
Bible literalist.
He's got people to feed his other sheep.
Right.
And then the
he
sheep
would never
died.
Ask me to feed his sheep. he wants me to lead his people.
He knows how I feel about wool.
Well, okay, so Peter's the first pope. That's part of church dogma.
Yeah.
That's the Petrine guarantee.
Even though it wasn't like the popes came after Peter.
Right. And they came after Peter. Well, Peter went to Rome late in his life to say, hey, Jesus is just all right with me. He was killed for it by Nero.
Yeah.
Persecuted the early church, which at the time was basically just Peter.
Yeah.
Peter became a martyr. No, Nero didn't fiddle. So Peter becomes a martyr. He's buried on Vatican Hill. And the Basilica of St. Peter is built over him. And from that point on, to honor Peter as the first pope, all other popes that fell into line behind him are considered to be the direct successor of Peter.
Yeah.
So if you look at the papal family tree, there's Peter at the top, mm-hmm. and then there's one other line, and it's all the popes coming directly from Peter.
Yeah, so whoever follows on this next one isn't descended from John Ratzenberger. He's descended from Peter.
Right.
He's following Peter's direct rule.
Right, and as such, the pope is considered to be carrying on directly the bestowment of power conferred by Jesus onto Peter.
Yeah, and I kind of like that. I guess that sort of signifies it's the office and not the person. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, it puts the importance on the office itself and not like, hey, you're following this guy.
Right. Well,
you know, like you're following the original.
The OG.
The OG. I was going to say that, but then I thought, that's disrespectful. And then I thought, I've called the Pope John Ratzenberger four times already.
Yeah. I think you got that covered.
Okay.
You've got the idea that the Pope is a direct successor of Peter, which gives him tons of power. Basically, he's one degree separated from Jesus, conferring the powers onto Peter.
Yeah.
And then a bunch of bishops got together to create the First Vatican Council in 1870 and said, you know what? Not only that, we have thought about it. We're theologians and we've decided that the Pope is infallible in matters of spirituality and religion.
That was a big deal because it basically means you can't question anything that comes out of his mouth. If he lays down some doctrine, then that's the final word.
Right, because Jesus
conferred
these powers onto Peter, and these people are direct successors of Peter, and by proxy have the same power. Jesus was infallible, ex post facto, so is the Pope. That's what they said. And everybody said, okay, we were listening to him anyway, but thank you for...
Make it official.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So that's the Pope. That's the power of the Pope. And again, this is the most powerful figurehead of any religion. There are 1.6 billion Muslims in the world, but there's not a living figurehead of that, of Islam.
Yeah.
With Catholicism, there's 1.2 billion, and there's one guy who's the head of it all, and that's the Pope.
I'm Elia Kani, and this is Family Therapy.
My best hopes, I guess, identify the life that I want and work towards it.
I never seen a man take care of my mother the way she needed to be taken care of.
I get the impression that you don't feel like you've done everything right as a father. Is that true?
That's true, and I'm not offended by that.
Thank you for going through those things, and thank you for overcoming them.
Thank God for the limits.
Every time I have one of our sessions be positive. It just keeps me going.
I feel like my focus is redirected in a different aspect of my life now.
So, how'd we do today?
We did good.
The Black Effect presents Family Therapy. Listen now on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
iHeart Podcast Update. This week on your free iHeartRadio app.
Fodor's Guide to Espionage, a 60s-era spy story of the world's first and greatest travel writer, Eugene Fodor, as he jet sets around the globe. Tongue Unbroken Season 2. This podcast explores complex concepts of identity, resilience, erasure, and genocide. Table for Two Season 2. Think of the show as a deconstructed Oscar party in podcast form. Each episode takes place over the romance of a meal and feels like you're seated next to a different guest at that dinner.
Hear these podcasts and more on your free iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.
So let's say Benedict hadn't retired. Let's say he stayed Pope until he died.
Yeah.
What happens?
What happens when a pope dies? Well, there's an authority called the Cardinal Carmelingo.
I like that name.
Yeah, I do too. Or Chamberlain is another name, and that's the Secretary of State of the Vatican. And Vatican City is the smallest independent state in the world. It's 100 and change acres, right there in the middle of Rome.
Yeah.
And I think I told my story that time about walking around it because I was trying to find the way in.
Yeah.
And there's no way in unless you go in the front. So
were you trying to sneak in the back door of Vatican City?
No, I just thought, like, surely you can get in this way. Like,
surely they'll let me in.
Yeah, but there was just big, tall walls.
Yeah.
And it's a long walk around the Vatican.
Is it 100 acres is kind of a walk.
Yeah, I think it's like 110 or
100. That's, dead on a country mile.
As the bird flies?
Yeah.
All right, so where were we? So the Secretary of State assumes the non-theological responsibilities of the Pope immediately, and it's sort of like if the president passes on, the vice president takes over,
right?
You know, in the interim,
running Vatican City.
Yeah, actually, not interim for the president; they're permanent.
Well, until the next election, right?
Yeah, permanent meaning it's not an interim position, unfortunately.
Yeah.
So they have to confirm that the Pope is dead, and they call the Pope's name three times.
Pope,
and there is no by name, I think.
Oh.
And there's a myth that I had a hard time tracking down that they would tap the Pope on the head with a silver hammer.
No way.
Three times?
No, they don't.
And apparently that is something that they did until the 1960s.
Huh.
And that went the way of the dodo.
I can imagine because all the popes had little bruises.
Yeah, I think it was a tap and not like a
post-mortem bruising from a hammer.
But I think they do use that same hammer to destroy the ring of the fisherman, which they remove once the Pope has passed.
Right.
Every Pope has worn this for like 800 years.
Yeah, some version of it. It's a seal with Peter on a fishing boat fishing,
yeah.
And then the name of that Pope, and then they destroy the same one. But did you see whether they used the same gold to make a new ring?
I don't know. That might account for missing gold.
85% of gold is recycled.
That's true.
Yeah.
But apparently they used that silver hammer to destroy the ring and the seals. And the body lies there in repose for nine days consecutive.
Right.
They celebrate the funeral rites. There are no photos allowed.
Because of the bruising.
Yeah, because of the bruising. But once they have put the Pope in his vestments and the mitre, I guess. Although, I don't know. You're probably not buried in the mitre.
Which one's the mitre?
The tall one.
The hat?
Yeah.
I don't recall seeing John Paul in... No, he had his little skull cap on.
Yeah, which
when he was in state.
Has a specific name too. I can't think of it right now.
Yarmulke.
No, I think for it's different for Catholic folks. Then you are allowed, if so deemed, you are allowed to take a postmortem photo, like an official photo for like documenting the situation.
Right.
But you can't go in there with your cameras, and if the Pope is sick on his deathbed, you can't go in there and film that kind of stuff.
Gotcha.
It's untoward.
It is. And then they bury him?
Yeah, they bury him in like a little Matryoshka doll in three coffins, mm-hmm. one encased of another, encased in another.
So it's a cypress, elm, and then lead.
Yeah.
And like, who's working with lead these days?
I don't know. I guess Roman coffin makers.
That's scary.
Yeah.
Like, how do you prevent any kind of lead poisoning when you're making a lead coffin?
I don't know. I mean, lead's still used, right? It's not like...
Yeah, I think it's fairly discontinued in most cases.
Yeah.
You should read this. There's a Mother Jones article called The Real Criminal Element, Lead. It is awesome,
really?
Man. Yeah, basically they tied crime rates and the decline of crime rates across American cities with the decline of leaded gasoline.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, it's really interesting, and they do it pretty convincingly.
They should have called it Get the Lead Out.
I thought so. Like, there's a bunch of different puns they could have made.
Sure.
They chose one.
All right, so now we have to elect a new pope.
Right, whether Benedict was dead or not, this is the same thing that's going to happen.
Yeah.
And like you said, they're trying to move it up because he's not dead. They don't have to carry out the funeral rites, so
exactly.
Why wait?
Exactly.
And the first thing that happens is the College of Cardinals, the guys who are going to serve as the electors.
Not the University of Louisville.
No.
But the College of Cardinals.
They get together and they enter what is called conclave, which means with key. Which means that they are basically sequestered from the rest of the world until they can come to a two-thirds agreement.
Two-thirds plus one?
No, I think that's a simple majority. It's half plus one.
Oh.
This is like straight up two-thirds.
Oh, really?
I believe so.
Well, you need to change this then.
You can, after 12 or 13 days, go to a simple majority.
Yeah, but
you
want to
be
two-thirds plus one. Is the first go, and then if that doesn't work, then you go to simple majority.
Well, then you're probably right, because
I think I was wrong.
This was, I don't know, man.
We'll call them out.
I think it might have been Tom Harris.
We'll go with Tom.
So it's probably, we'll go with two-thirds plus one in this case. So basically, the Cardinals get together. They are sequestered. They basically, there's, I think, 120 of them, tops.
Yeah, there's 117 right now.
They haven't picked the other three yet?
I don't think there are another three.
Well, so there's between 117 and 120 electors,
okay.
Cardinals, who are going to vote for Pope, right?
I think it's no more than 120. That's the maximum number.
Gotcha. There's also an age limit. If you turned 80 before the day the Pope dies or retires, you're out.
Yeah.
You're old news. And you can't vote. You can't be a cardinal in the electorate.
Even though Benedict was like 78 when he was elected pope.
Right. That doesn't cover pope. That covers whoever's electing the pope.
Yeah, I know, but I just find it interesting that 2 years later you can't even vote.
Right.
Yet they would put someone in as, the highest office.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Well, he was the oldest pope ever elected.
Yeah, that's true. And these guys can't even tweet. And you may laugh, but there are nine active Twitterers in the College of Cardinals.
Well, there's the Pope has a Twitter account, Pontifex.
But nine of the Cardinals tweet themselves, and they have specifically been forbidden from tweeting during this time period.
I could see that. Oh, it's part of, being under key in conclave.
I wonder if they ever thought they would have to cover that, though.
Hey, the world's changing. What else?
Tweeting Cardinals.
Okay, so there's two ballots a day, for a total of four,
mm-hmm.
two possible in the morning, two in the afternoon. And then after 12 or 13 days, if there's still no Pope, they can say, you know what, to heck with this, we're just going to go with a simple majority.
Right.
Which I think is 50% plus one.
Yeah.
And, then we'll elect the new Pope.
That's right.
And while they're doing this, there's like some, there's some details that, have to be followed to vote for a new Pope.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. Like, this information has always been out there, but now in today's age, it's really out there.
Yeah.
So I think up until this election, a lot of people probably didn't understand, exactly what's going on.
Well, Pope John Paul published the guidelines.
Yeah.
Said, hey, everybody, We're just being transparent here. Here's what we're doing.
Here's how it's done. So they're rectangular ballots, and this is all very important, I imagine. They probably don't vary from this process.
I wouldn't
be like, you know what? I'm going to do a round ballot just to mix things up.
Yeah.
At the top,
cocktail napkin.
Yeah. At the top of the words, Latin words, "illigo in summum pontificem," I elect as supreme pontiff. So it's basically saying like this is the official ballot. And then below that, each cardinal is going to write down the name in pen of the Pope.
Yeah.
Hand in their little paper like it's elementary school student body elections.
They fold it twice.
No, I thought someone else. They fold it twice.
Right, and then they put it on a plate.
Yeah.
And then they use the plate to dump it into the ballot box.
Yeah, well, and they have to say out loud, "I call as my witness Christ the Lord, who will be my judge, that my vote is given to the one who before God, I think, should be elected."
Which is saying, like, I'm not bending to popularity. This isn't a popularity contest.
Yeah.
This is who I genuinely think,
that's right,
God is my witness, should be Pope.
And they have to carry it in the air. And I guess all of this is just sort of, like, why they put it on a plate and hold it in the air. It's just like, look, nothing's happening. I wrote it down,
right,
and this is the same piece of paper.
Well, it also makes so cardinals, while they're electing, this is a little known fact, they actually float down the aisle toward the ballot box, and so holding the ballot up in the air makes the whole thing look even cooler.
Cool.
So you've got some guys who are charged with counting the ballots and basically tallying who's going to be Pope.
Of course.
They're called scrutineers.
Yeah, that's going to be my next band name.
And the three scrutineers?
Just the scrutineers.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, because there's four of us.
Well, I was going to say it would be kind of cool if it was the three scrutineers, but there was four.
Yeah, like Ben
really,
Folds five.
Really freak out the crowd, man.
Yeah.
So you've got the three scrutineers, and two of them, so you have one sitting who takes the ballot out of the ballot box,
mm-hmm,
writes down the name of the Pope, or the person voted for Pope, hands it to the next person. The first two write it down, and then the third scrutineer reads the name out loud,
mm-hmm,
and the other two, they say, yep, that's the one I have here,
okay,
that I wrote down. And then they take it and pierce it through the eligo,
okay,
with the needle,
mm-hmm,
and move it along a line of thread, and then you have ultimately all the ballots tallied.
That's right.
And if they don't elect a Pope, they burn them.
That's right. And a very important step before that, they tie the end of it so it's a sealed circle with the ballots hanging from it.
Okay.
Because if it's not tied shut, that means the vote is still open.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay, so then they burn them. And if they haven't elected a Pope through that ballot, they add some chemical that makes the smoke black.
Yeah.
And they blow it out of the Vatican Palace to let everybody know, no Pope yet. When they do elect the Pope, they just let it be white smoke, right?
Yeah. It used to be, they used to use like wet straw and stuff, but there was confusion at times when it didn't burn like appropriately.
Mm-hmm.
So now they just add a chemical that they know is going to do the job.
Nice. And so when the new Pope is elected, he meets with the Cardinal Deacon, Secretary of the College of Cardinals, the Cardinal Dean, the master of papal liturgical celebrations, right?
That's a swinging crowd.
It is. And he says, oh, please, really, really? This is great news. Thank you for doing this.
Yeah.
And the dean, I think, asks him a couple questions.
Yeah, and I have a feeling it's way more official than what I would say, because they say, do you accept your canonical election as supreme pontiff?
What would you say?
I would say, you want to be Pope? You sure you want to be Pope? And then by what name do you wish to be called? And that, you know, that's pretty straight up.
That you'd say that? Just like that?
I'd say, you want to be Pope? What's your name?
Give me the name.
Yeah. And they'd say, who is this guy?
We need to know what to put on your seal.
Yeah, exactly. They do.
Yeah.
So the Pope accepts it. Well, you know, I guess the Pope is supposed to accept. I'm not sure if that's ever not happened.
I can't imagine.
Because you would think they would withdraw their name earlier than that, you know.
Right.
Or if they had second thoughts, that'd probably be pretty bad, too.
Right. Yeah. They were like, look, I just talked about it with my wife, and she's like, I don't know if we want to go into this chapter of our life. Let's just retire.
Yeah. Okay, so each cardinal at that point, once the Pope has the name and has said, yes, I definitely want to be Pope, they approach them, pay homage to the new Pope.
Probably kiss the ring.
Yeah, I would say so.
I wonder if they have the ring made up already, because you're supposed to have that thing on. Like that's basically like, check it out, I'm Pope.
I bet they do.
I would imagine.
Yeah. Because the only thing that could happen is the Pope says, I don't want to be Pope.
Yeah.
And then they just make a new ring.
Yeah.
You know?
And they probably make the guy feel pretty bad, too. Like, well, are you sure? Because we made the ring and everything already.
I bet this is all spelled out in some rule book, you know? Like, not oft-used rules of the Catholic Church.
Right. Like, if they refuse?
Yeah.
You strike them on the head with the silver hammer?
Maybe so. So then, traditionally, the oldest cardinal in the conclave steps out there at St. Peter's Square there on the balcony, which we've all seen a million times, and says, Habemus Papam. Basically says, we have a new pope, and then the pope comes out, and the crowd goes wild.
Yeah.
Like the Beatles.
Yep.
Like, it's serious stuff, man. Weeping, and I know in America it's not as, or I guess things have just changed a little bit. I'm sure there are people in the United States that are still that moved.
Sure.
But you see people from around the world, like, collapsing and crying, and
yeah,
it's pretty amazing to watch.
Papal mania.
Papal mania.
Yeah. And so, and the Pope basically says, okay, let's do this. Here's my papal blessing.
Mm-hmm.
Good to meet you all.
Sure.
Let's go forth and, spread Catholicism.
That's right. We should do one on the Pope at some point, just about the duties. I mean, they have a few in here. Appoints bishops and cardinals, mm-hmm. obviously, spreading the good word, writing the official documents about issues like what our official stance is, stuff like that.
Yeah, and then like getting world leaders to go along with them.
Yeah, and you know, back in the day, the Pope had a lot more sway in the non-religious sector. Like I could listen to me.
Yeah,
they could crown new emperors and like had military power and stuff like that.
Yeah, like one of the popes crowned Charlemagne and started the Holy Roman Empire, right?
Oh yeah.
That was something that popes could do.
Can't do that anymore.
No. And we mentioned Benedict changing the name. Like, they ask, what name do you want to go by?
Yeah.
And there's actually an origin to this. Pope John II, he was elected in 533.
Yeah.
And he was the one that started it because he was born, his birth name was Mercurius.
Yeah.
Named after Mercury, which is a pagan Roman god.
Yeah.
And he was like,
good idea.
I don't think I should have a pagan name as Pope.
Yeah.
So he changed his name to John II.
Yep.
And there you have it. That's where the tradition began.
Yeah. And I think generally now they choose a name of a previous Pope that they admired, perhaps.
Or a favorite saint.
Or a favorite saint. And then they get on with the Popin'.
Yep.
I wonder what the new one. I'm really interested, you know.
I'm pulling for the guy from Ghana.
Yeah, I want to know what his name's going to be, too.
Yeah.
iHeart Podcast Update. This week on your free iHeartRadio app.
Fodor's Guide to Espionage. A 60s-era spy story of the world's first and greatest travel writer, Eugene Fodor, as he jet sets around the globe. Tongue Unbroken Season 2. This podcast explores complex concepts of identity, resilience, erasure, and genocide. Table for Two Season 2. Think of the show as a deconstructed Oscar party in podcast form. Each episode takes place over the romance of a meal and feels like you're seated next to a different guest at that dinner.
Hear these podcasts and more on your free iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Elliot Connie, and this is Family Therapy.
My best hopes, I guess, identify the life that I want and work towards it.
I never seen a man take care of my mother the way she needed to be taken care of.
I get the impression that you don't feel like you've done everything right as a father. Is that true?
That's true. And I'm not offended by that.
Thank you for going through those things, and thank you for overcoming them.
Thank God for the limits.
Every time I have like one of our sessions be positive. It just keeps me going.
I feel like my focus is redirected in a different aspect of my life now.
So, how'd we do today?
We did good.
The Black Effect presents Family Therapy. Listen now on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
You got anything else about the Pope, or the papacy, I should say?
No.
The Popemobile? Pretty awesome car.
Yeah, it is.
Do you remember that?
Yeah, sure, when they came out with the bulletproof tube that he sits in.
Yeah.
It's pretty smart.
He stands in and waves.
Yeah.
It's a tall tube.
That's right.
Okay, well, if you want to learn more about the Pope Mobile, you can type the word papacy, P-A-P-A-C-Y, in the search bar at howstuffworks.com. And I don't know what that'll... Well, papacy will bring that article up. It won't bring anything up about the Pope Mobile, I'm afraid.
No.
But just try. Try Pope Mobile and see what happens.
Yeah. You might enter a portal into another universe.
Since I said Pope Mobile, it means it's time for listener mail.
I'm going to call this veterinary Canadian Vets. What's up, friends? My name is Anne-Marie, and I'm a super fan veterinarian from Newfoundland, Canada. Almost at Connecticut.
I thought you were going to say Kentucky.
I discovered you in 2011 when I went on maternity leave, and maternity leave here in Canada can be up to a full year. In addition to that,
man,
my daughter was born 10 weeks early, so I was off for 14 months.
Holy cow.
Creepily, you both became my support system during this time. Luckily, I came upon the podcast at a time where there were around 200 episodes. I would push the stroller every day for at least an hour and laugh out loud at your antics. I listened while I cleaned, cooked, and did various baby-related duties. Now that I'm back at work, I eagerly await new episodes and have gone back and submitted to listening to episodes I'd dismissed previously as boring. I encourage people to do that.
Oh, yeah. Like... Population is constantly a good one to go back to.
That's
and
what
check
she
out.
Listened to. Did you know that?
No.
She said, I listened to recently and happy to report that even how population works entertain me. I even listen at work, particularly while I'm doing doggy surgery. You are a favorite while I'm doing dental surgery, actually. Last week I listened to Why Do Men Have Nipples While Working in a Dog's Mouth. Thanks for getting me through some difficult tooth extractions. Anyway, hats off to you both. I suffer from a mild case of hero worship. I wanted to say thanks for
I don't know
work.
If I would call it suffering.
My daughter and I say, woot, Josh and Chuck. And my husband says, not that podcast again. And I guess he slaps his forehead.
Wah, wah.
Yeah. So, Anne-Marie, tell your husband.
Or something.
You get out your own little silver hammer. Tap your husband on the head and say, my daughter and I are getting smarter.
Tap him very, very, very lightly.
Lightly on the
don't
head.
You think, Chuck?
So, whoever Anne-Marie's husband is, get on the train, my friend.
Maybe get a helmet soon.
And she says, awkward hugs. And thanks to Canada.
Thanks from or thanks to Canada?
To. I guess for that 14-month paid leave.
Can't you see her? Like, she's putting a dog under and she's like, one for you, one for me. One for you, one
for me.
Yeah, with the gas.
All right, so thanks, Anne-Marie.
And thanks to Canada for some reason.
Yep.
If you want to send us an oddly worded homage or thanks or whatever, we love those. Those are the best kind. We want to hear from you. You can tweet to us at SYSK Podcast. You can say stuff on Facebook.com/stuffyoushouldknow. You can send us an email to stuffpodcast@discovery.com. And you can join us on our home on the web, our very own website with 42-inch rims. It's called stuffyoushouldknow.com.
For more on this and thousands of other topics, visit howstuffworks.com.
Brought to you by Toyota. Let's go places.
I'm Tamika D. Mallory.
And it's your boy, my son, the General.
And we are your hosts of TMI. And catch us every Wednesday on the Black Effect Network, breaking down social and civil rights issues, pop culture, and politics in hopes of pushing our culture forward to make the world a better place for generations to come. Listen to TMI on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
That's right.
Oh, hi, I'm Rachel Zoe, and my podcast Climbing in Heels is back and better than ever. You might know me from the Rachel Zoe Project, or perhaps from my work as a celebrity stylist. And guess what? I'm still just as obsessed with all things fashion, beauty, and business. Climbing in Heels is all about celebrating the stories of extraordinary women, and this season is here to bring you a weekly dose of glamour, inspiration, and fun. Listen to Climbing in Heels every Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.